Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's a good thing, amen. Last week we started a series called In Sync, just syncing up to your true identity in Christ and how important this is. And when I talk about being in sync with something in regards to being syncing up to your identity, I'm talking about you and I living up or living in agreement with who we are in Christ Jesus, our divine identity. And so many times, you ever felt out of sync? You ever felt out of sync spiritually? Well, what happens is because we have a knowledge of what we have, but we aren't connecting with those truths practically. Let me say that again. You have a knowledge of what it is, but you're not applying it. We get confused, we get out of sync because we know truth, but we're not practicing the truth. That's what starts to happen. We know what we need to be doing. We know the truth, but we're failing in connecting with that. So you and I, we need to be living in agreement with our divine identity. We got to live in agreement with who God says we are, right? So go with me to James chapter 1. I've got a lot to say today, of course, as always. I'm never without words. James chapter 1. There has been times, though, I've had times I didn't have the words, but look here in verse 22 through 25. You'll turn there real quick, but you got your paper or pixels today? You got them? Let's make our word confession. This is my Bible, God's word for me. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be, and I can have what it says I can have. Today, my mind is alert and my heart is prepared to hear the unchanging, uncompromising, incorruptible word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, come. Fill the hearts of the faithful. Kindle in us the fire of your love today. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. You know every heart here, God. It's always amazing to me, God, how you can take my words. You can take the words of a man, a human, Lord, these lips of clay, and you can anoint them, God, and you can translate it into every way possible, God, into the hearts of these people. So I'm asking, God, that you would do the same today as you always do. You are faithful to your word, and you confirm your word with signs following. So we thank you for it now. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." You can actually deceive yourself. Be hearers of the word and not doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, this word hearer here, it means like auditing the class. It's what it actually means. It's like a listener, just listening. And James is just what he's doing, he's actually warning against religious spectatorship. A spectator in the things of God. Just enjoying listening, even agreed, nodding your head. Yeah, that's right. No. He's warning against this. He said, "Don't be someone just nodding your head at it. Begin to live what I'm telling you. Don't just come to audit the class, because I'm telling you, there's going to be a test that's going to follow. If you're just auditing the class, you're there just for information, but not really to get it on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. Because if you're actually not taking the class to audit it, but you know there's going to be a test at the end of it, you're listening differently. You're actually tuning in differently. You're actually studying it out and trying to get it in you. This is what we do at church. We come and we say yes and amen and we agree. But we got to take it a step farther. We've got to begin to be a doer of what God tells us to do. If we don't, the Bible says we'll actually deceive ourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer, He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, looks into the Word of God, and continues in it. Jesus said in John 8, he said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, if you continue in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He's warning us again about this spiritual spectatorship. And don't treat this like entertainment. There is a real, why are we doing this? Why are we sitting here today? Why am I preaching this? Why are you listening to this guy talk? Why is this? Because you're trying to be trained, because when you walk out the doors, that's where the test is going to be. Tomorrow morning it's waiting. And the test is against your, it's whether or not you will live in agreement, come on somebody, live in agreement with who you actually are, or you'll actually live in agreement with the imposter. Every temptation that you and I will ever face, it's pressure against the flesh in order to get you to bend or bow and to begin to go against your, not in agreement with your true identity. Amen. Every temptation. You know, you've never seen yourself. You've never seen your true self. I want this to settle a second. You've never truly seen your true self. You've always relied on something else to tell you how you look, because you've never stepped outside of your body and actually saw yourself. You have to rely. That's what he's saying here. You've got to have a mirror. That's what he's saying. See, if you're looking, anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. You're relying on the mirror to tell you something. Now, this is the deal. We're talking about spiritual mirrors today. I'm telling you this. Listen, everybody's mirror. Listen, we all have cracked mirrors. If you don't watch out, it'll distort the image that you're actually seeing. Listen, this is why you got to have the Word of God. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to have the Word of God in your life. This is the mirror for you. Because why? We've all been broken by the fall of man. We've all had hurt. We've all had pain in our past. And all of a sudden, you start looking through that, and it starts refracting something back to you that's not true about yourself at all. So you're relying on something all the time to tell you who you are. This is why you have to have this book. This is where you're going. This is what's going to be revealed to you. This is the true mirror. This is how we see ourselves. What does God's word say about me? I'm talking about identity. So I have to have something to tell me who I am, because the images get refracted by our perceptions, influenced by our past, our failures, our sin, and ultimately the inner critic. Has anybody in here ever battled the inner critic? Come on, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I'm talking about the inner critic. I need something to tell me who I am. And God has given us His living word, which is Jesus in the flesh. And we see all that through the book, through the Bible. And He's given us the living word and the written word. That way we could know who we are. Look at this in the scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Look what it says. But we all, with unveiled face, I don't have time to break this all down, but beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now we just read it in James 1, right? About a mirror. Now we're echoing the same thing. Beholding as in a mirror, what am I beholding? I'm beholding what? The glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, being transformed, metamorphosized, being changed, literally changed from the inside out, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're beholding. So what are we beholding here? I need somebody to tell me who I am. What am I beholding? I'm beholding the glory of the Lord. Well, let me ask the question. Number one, what is the glory of the Lord? It's His splendor. It's His greatness. It's His characteristics. So I can see Jesus because Jesus is the glory of the Lord revealed. So I can see Jesus, and a revelation of Jesus becomes a revelation of His body. He is the head, and we are the what? So what's true for the head is true for the... Come on, somebody. Go back last week about the envelope. What's true? Listen, I'm in Him. He's in me. I'm beholding the glory of the Lord. I'm beholding it in the Word. I'm beholding it through Jesus. Because what I become, what I behold. Whatever you're beholding, you're becoming. This is where I'm going with this. I'm saying this, you can't just be a hearer and not a doer. You can't be just someone that never looks at this, because whatever you're beholding, you're actually going to be transformed into. Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our meditation? Come on, I talked about it a couple Wednesday nights ago on Christian meditation and the importance of Christian meditation, because what I'm beholding, I'm actually going to become. That's why the enemy's after the Word. We're beholding Christ, which is our identity. That's why the devil comes to steal the Word out of your heart. Because why? He's taking away your mirror. He'll take away your mirror. The Bible says in Mark 4, the parable of the sower, it says the seed was sown, and immediately the enemy came to steal the Word. He's a thief. Thieves steal valuable things. The Word of God is valuable. What are you saying, Pastor Paul? I'm saying this. This is our mirror. And if I want the image of God, if I want to be transformed, if I'm going to walk in my true identity, it's got to start with me looking in this book and believing what it says about me. Because why? If you don't watch out, your past will speak louder to you than the truth. Your failures will speak louder to you than your truth. Because that's the mirror you're looking in. The mirror is actually fractured. I need a clear mirror. Not some distorted image. You understand there's two stories to your life. You understand. Listen, there's a story. God's got a story for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, workmanship. The word is actually in the Greek poema. It's poema. That's the Greek word, poema. You can look it up. Not now, but later. Poema. Guess what word we get out of poema? Poem. You are God. This is Ephesians 2:10. You are God's poem. What's a poet do? He expresses his heart and his mood. You are the expression of God's heart. He has a story for you. But the enemy's trying to come and give you the second story. You got a true story, a glory story, the true self, the true identity. But also the enemy's trying to feed you stuff to try to get you to believe a second story about your life, which is the second story is based in defeat and it's based in failure. But a lot of times what happens is we believe that story more than we believe the true story. Because what I'm beholding, I'll become. You guys all right here? Your identity, it's the story of God over your life. God has a story that He's written about you. But the problem is, like I said, we believe the second story more than we do the first. Remember cassette tapes? Who remembers cassette tapes? Who remembers Columbia House? Remember when Columbia House used to have the, you know, you went in, you paid like maybe you signed up and paid like $2.99, whatever it was then, and you get 10 free cassettes, but you was locked in. You know what I'm saying? It was, you was locked in because the next one was going to be $15 or whatever it was. But there's a thing on, there was a thing on those cassette tapes. And you go to, now at that time, Rite Aid or Radio Shack. Anybody remember Radio Shack? I remember Radio Shack. See, I got stories. I'm getting older. Radio Shack. But you could go buy the cassettes over there, and you could, you know, you go over there and put them into your box, you know, and you push the two buttons down. See, kids don't know nothing about that. They don't know nothing about living. Push those two buttons, the record and play button, you push them down together, and you could just record. Record what was on the radio or record whatever. You know, if you had the two cassette decks, you put the one you want, you take it over here. But you could just go back over and over and over and rewrite on those things. But there was something on those cassette tapes that you would get like from Columbia House, and it was an anti-recording it wouldn't allow you to copy it. There was an anti-copying. No matter what, you couldn't go back and rewrite over. See, I don't care how bad it's been. God's got a story for you. And I'm telling you, the enemy can't go and overwrite the story. Never. Now, you have a choice what you want to believe. Right? I've got to learn to live by this story. Galatians 6, real quick here. Galatians 6, we'll put it up on the screen just so. Paul said this, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world, now that word world there, it actually means, you know, we're talking here about not the globe or the actual physical round ball. We're talking about the belief systems, the morals of a fallen world. From whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, right? In Christ. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. What are you saying? He said the religious stuff that you're doing, like the religious, the outward stuff you're doing does not matter when it comes to your salvation. But in Christ Jesus, none of the religious stuff that you're doing out here matters. The only thing that matters is the new creation. But a new creation. Kainos, new, kainos, Greek word kainos, new, and it means something that's never existed before. When I got born again, something was birthed, something that's never existed before. But a new creation. Now this word, verse 16, for as many as walk in agreement to this rule or this principle, peace and mercy be upon the Israel of God. What's the rule? Verse 15. If you go back up here real quick. Back up verse. What's the rule that I'm going to walk by? The new creation. The rule or the principle I'm going to live my life by is by the first story. Because the new creation, even though it's brand new, I'm getting myself back to the original story. Right? This was the original. New creation is the original story. It's the God story that God's wrote for my life. And I'm getting back to that. So in Christ Jesus, right, now I've been brought back to the first story. Even though that story has already been written, I'm now in the story. Now I have a choice whether I'm going to live in the story or not, but I'm in that story. I'm going to live by that. Not by the second story, not by the false story, not the broken lens over here. I'm not living in that. I'm living over here. Can I get a good amen here? He said, I'm going to live my life according to that rule in verse 16. I'm going to live my life according to that principle, the principle of the new creation. Everything I'm going to do in my life is going to be based now around my identity. All of a sudden, I don't go to the place anymore. You know why I don't go to this place anymore? Because that's not who I am. I don't talk like that anymore. You know why I don't talk like that anymore? That's not who I am. See, before that, I wasn't in Christ. I was in Adam. But now that I'm in Christ, now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And now that He's all the time beckoning to my identity, who I am. Every temptation you'll ever face, it's about who you are. You know, I don't do that stuff anymore. Why? I'm a new creation. I'm living my life according to that rule, that principle. Right? So we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You guys are right here. Hallelujah. You're made in the image of God. You have value to God. Real quick here, I did bring this out. I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but every currency in the world, every currency has three things on it. It has value, it has an image, and it has the origin. Everyone. Every currency in the world has a value attached to it, the origin from which it came from, and the image. See, you're stamped with the same thing. Okay. Matthew 22. I wasn't going to do this, but let me just say this. Matthew 22 up on the screen. We'll read it together. Matthew 22. All right, we've made this about money. I'm not sure exactly if this is really what he's talking about. We've said that. I'm not sure. There's truth in it, but I want to take it a step farther on what Jesus was saying here. I'm not saying it's not about money. I'm just saying I think he was trying to get a deeper truth to us. Then the Pharisees. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to who? Pharisees. Went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. Verse 16. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you not regard the person of men. He wasn't moved by men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? What's the question? Do we pay taxes to who? Caesar, or do we not pay taxes to Caesar? All right. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? And don't you love Jesus? He'd build a big church today. He'd have a huge church. Could you imagine? Sheesh. Now, this is where he goes. He said, show me the tax money. Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. Denarius was a one day's wage. One coin was a Roman coin, one day's wage. Look what he says in verse 20. And he said to them, who's what? An inscription is on it. Whose image is it on it? Well, whose image was it? Verse 21. They said to him what? And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. We've made this about money. Jesus was given an altar call. Who was he talking to? The Pharisees. He said, look, leave that stuff to the side. Let me teach you a little bit more. He said, you're wicked in heart and you're a hypocrite, but you still bear my image. Won't you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar? And won't you give your image? The one won't you give me you? I want you. Because why? You bear my image. You bear my image. Because every coin, every currency has image attached to it. You come from heaven. It's your origin. You came from God. Everybody in this room came from God. We're all just lost sons and daughters. Jesus came to get kids back. That's what he came to do. He came to get the kids back. Now, I have a choice in the matter whether I'm going to receive Christ or not. But nevertheless, even the people out here that's the hardest core sinner, they're still bearing the image of God. They're made in his image. It's tarnished. The image is tarnished. Can't hardly see it. But I'm telling you what, I saw this happen. You guys have saw this happen in people that didn't even know Christ, but yet would do things that would be like Christian-like to do. Why? Because the image of God is trying to come through through their life. People aren't wicked, they're just deceived. And the minute you and I quit looking at people as just some criminal and start seeing them as critically ill, it's better that way. These people are just critically ill. Come on, somebody. How would Jesus see them? He would call them to repentance. right? But think about it a second. You bear the image of God. You have value. You have worth to you. I could throw this, I could throw that down on the floor. I could sit here and stomp on it. I could go and I could rub it in the dirt, right? But at the end of the day, what's it still worth? The same thing. I don't care where you've been and what's going on in your life. I'm telling you, you might have been drugged through the mud, but I'm telling you, God still sees you as valuable to Him. I'm talking about your identity today. I'm talking about who you are in Christ. Can I get a good amen here? So let's roll through this real quick. That was added. It's free. We'll charge later for it or something. So last week we started talking about this new creation. Being in sync starts with being born again, right? Being in sync starts with being born again. Now, I'm not going to go back here, but we're going to move on. But it starts with being born again, saved. Do you understand that you're in the family? If you're born again, you're in the family. Like, you're in the family. I like it. I've been born of God. That's what the Scripture says. I've been born of God. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born. Now notice what it says. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but been born of God. When you got born again, you got born of God. He is your heavenly Father. Man, I'm telling you. I've been regenerated. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you guys all know this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature or a new creation. All things have what? Passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In Christ. In union with Him. Joined with Him. Identified with Him. Become one with Him. That's what it means to be in Christ. Over 130 times in the New Testament, in the Pauline epistles, you see the word in Christ, in Him, in whom, through whom. It's a huge revelation. Paul's was writing post-resurrection. I do believe this, that the Pauline revelation was Jesus' unuttered words that the disciples could not handle in the Gospels. Remember he said that? He said, there's many things I have to say to you, but you're not able to bear them. Why? Because he needed the Holy Spirit. And Paul came along with his epistles and gave us the in Christ revelation of what it means to be in Him. In union with Him. I mean, the Apostle Paul could say stuff like this. I have wronged no man. I have cheated no one. This is the same guy that was throwing Christians in prison. How could he say that, church? How could Paul say, I've wronged no one, I've hurt no one, I've cheated no one? He said that in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it was. How could he say it? Because he never lived, he didn't live by the second story anymore. He lived by the first story. I mean, he literally saw his, therefore, if any man be in Christ, his new creation, old things have what? He saw it. He no longer lived there. Why are you? Jesus lived in the realm of it is, he lives in the realm as it is finished. So why don't we? Why don't we live in the realm that it's finished? That it's done? That it's accomplished? That my past is gone? The sin has been washed away? Because the enemy, because why? We're hearers of the word and not what? And we have deceived ourselves. You guys all right here? So I got to get, this is why I wrote down, I need to get to know the new me, the real me, the Jesus identity, right? I need to know that. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Let me give you this real quick. I know it's a lot of words, but I need to tell you. Is anybody else hot or is it just me? Okay, praise the Lord. That's why I thought, I was just making sure. Put that up there for me, Jeff, that definition about being in Christ. To be in Christ, rather than be in union with Him, this is what it means. It means to be united with Him through salvation by faith, sharing in His life, His death, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement. In Christ describes the believer's new identity and position before God, no longer defined by sin, but by the righteousness that comes through Christ. Because of this union with Christ, all the redemptive benefits are available to the believer through faith, and their identity and destiny are inseparably tied to Him. Something popped up on my Facebook feed this morning. And me and Annie went on a cruise in 2018. That's when Kyle and Christine got married. We went and married them in Florida, and we took off one of the cruise after that. Thank you for allowing me to do that, Kyle and Christine. But I took a picture because we made sure we bought some crackers, cheese and crackers. I'm going to take this as a blast from the past, because I remember Pastor Jim used to always talk about this same thing about being, you know, the benefits of in Christ. He said it's like, you know, going on a cruise, but yet, you know, enjoying the cruise, the trip, but yet just staying in your cabin and just eating cheese and crackers all the time, not knowing that the food was part of the cruise. It popped up on my feed today because we took a picture. We had the big cruise ship, took a picture, and I had two things of cheese and crackers laying in the bed. It was a nice memory. But it's the truth. What we do is, well, I'm just glad to go to heaven when there's so much more. There's so much more. Why are we living underneath our benefits? Because the enemy's deceived us. He gets us distorted lens, start looking through the wrong lens, right? The shattered mirror. When God has given His word and the mirror, that way we can look in it. And I can look into the perfect law of liberty and continue looking into the perfect law of liberty. And the Bible says, this man shall be blessed in him, whatever he does. Why? Because I'm looking in the right spot. I can't get my identity from people. I can't get my identity from stuff. I got to get my identity and who I am from Him. There's no man. There's no woman. There's no wife. There's no husband. There's no boat. There's no car. There's no house. There's no anything that can bring identity to you. It's a false story. Because guess what? I found out once I get it, there's always a desire to want what? I can never, listen here, there's only one person that can satisfy you, and that's Christ. Every heart, I think it was St. Augustine that said this, every heart is restless until it finds its rest in Christ. That's a loaded statement. Every heart is restless until it finds its rest in Christ. My identity in Him. So, I got to be born again, right? Born again. Number two, how do you stay in sync real quick? We'll go through this one and then we'll close it up for the day. Stay in sync. We stay in sync by revelation and awareness. Revelation and awareness. Paul paints this picture in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. He says these words. Listen to these profound words. You are complete in Him. That's a loaded statement. You are fully furnished in Him. This is the in Christ revelation. Once I have the in Christ revelation, I begin to understand. Listen, it's already been done. It's already done. I'm in Christ. Now I got to learn to work out this. Now I understand. It's practical, or it's principally true. It's objectively true. But just because something is objectively true doesn't mean it's subjectively true. Just because something can be true of you, but not to you. Paul said in Colossians 2, you are complete in Him. Complete. Fully furnished. But I'm not fully furnished, Pastor Paul. I understand that. Because why? It's a spiritual reality. And it has to make and migrate the 18-inch journey from the heart to the head. You unlock it by awareness, revelation, and awareness. You can have $1 million to your name and never know you have it and live your life poor. You could. There's people who do it every day. But the revelation that I would have $1 million, all of a sudden it shifts the whole mindset. So I have to have a revelation. John said it like this: as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17 is what it says. As he is, so are we in this world. It's the revelation of this. It's a revelation of my righteousness. It's a revelation of my identity. The revelation of my holiness. Revelation that's already complete. I'm not working to try to get holy. I'm now working out of my holiness. I'm not trying to get righteous. I am righteous right now. Not by my might, not by my power, not by my own righteousness, but by righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am righteous now. I stand holy, irreprovable, and blameless in his sight. Why are we living in a place of sin consciousness all the time? Feelings of inferiority and unworthiness. I'm telling you, I'm going to shout it to the rooftops. You are not unworthy. You are worthy because of the blood of Jesus. Start seeing yourself that way. I'm tired of seeing people walk around, oh, you know what, I'm just an old sinner. I ain't no good. Who told you that? That's a second story. I'm sorry. I'm not yelling at you. Promise. I'm just passionate. Okay. I'm just passionate. I promise. I just want you to see who you are. Because if you can see who you are, you'll walk in a brand new way. And now you're talking about, remember we're talking about rest? Talking about rest. You actually experience rest. You actually experience the rest of the Lord that Hebrews 4 talks about, where nothing is actually moving you anymore. Nothing is moving me anymore. Why? Because I know who I am. A revelation of this. And I have to renew my mind to it. Philemon, the book of Philemon. I know. Just go over here to Philemon. Real quick. Philemon chapter 1. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Look at this. That the sharing. Now, this word sharing right here, right, it means to have fellowship with, communicating, right, to be able to release. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. That's that word energēs, and it actually means to energize. That the sharing of your faith may be energized. The word actually means, it's like carrying current from one source to the next. Or like from a light switch to a light bulb. That's what it means to be effective. It's the energy, it's the energizing of it in order to accomplish. That the sharing of your faith may be energized by the what? By what? By the acknowledgement or the acknowledging of every good thing that is where? Where? Come on now. That's that covenant in Christ. The acknowledging of every good. How's this going to work? You've got to acknowledge or to know something about what's in you. That's the revelation. This is why I'm saying you got to have a mirror. Because the mirror is going to tell you who you are in Christ. I get it, folks. I understand, friends. I get it. There's nothing good in me personally. In me personally, without Christ, I'm nothing. But in Christ, I am. But I've got to learn what's in me. What belongs to me in Christ? How I can walk. And I can walk in my authority as a believer. That I can understand my inheritance of rest and walk in peace and rest. I need to understand this. the knowledge of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. This is what the Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians 1. He said, I pray that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, that's not it. That's Ephesians chapter 3. Let me just go over here real quick. It just left me. It came and it left. Look what it says here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that's what he said, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now look what he said. Come close. Listen now. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and what is the glory of his inheritance that's in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Apostle Paul said, I'm praying that your eyes would understand. You'll have a knowledge, an acknowledgement of what the hope of his calling, the inheritance that's in you in Christ, and the power of God. It's life-changing, church. It's life-changing. I will land the plane here. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm talking about understanding who you are. So if I'm going to sync up, I've got to be born again. Number two, I need a revelation of an awareness of who I am. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go back up here to verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it's for you. He said, sometimes we look like we're out of our mind. And when I'm out of my mind, that's for Christ. For if sound mind's for you. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus that if one died for all, then what? Okay, let me stop here a second. When he's talking about all here, he's talking about the human race. Remember now, in Jesus, Jesus is the federal head of the human race. So everything that, so in Adam, remember last week I talked about in Adam and I talked about in Christ? See, in Adam, right, we all die. But in Christ, we are made alive. Everything that Jesus has already done, he's already accomplished it for us. Listen, let me say something. You were saved 2,000 years ago. You were saved when he got up out of the grave, right? Listen, he saved all of humanity. Now, it's up to me to receive it. Remember now, something can be true of you, but not to you. Something can be true of you objectively, but not to you subjectively. He said, so that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Now look what he says. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet we understand this man was divine. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Look, I'm talking about a revelation of who you are. And the Apostle Paul said, we got to begin to regard ourselves. He said, don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Regard them according to the Spirit. Why is this so important? Because we're all the time looking on the outside. And we're judging ourselves according to the outside and not what has happened on the inside. He defines, this is why you're not defining yourself according to it. Because why? He's telling you, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. We are so behavior conscious in Christianity in Western church. We are, and listen, I'm not telling you, I'm not saying to you we shouldn't have, there's fruit inspection, I get all that. But listen, I'm not living my life according to my behavior. I'm living my life according to my identity. And if I start living my life according to my identity, the behavior follows. It's not behavior modification, it's beholding modification. What am I looking at? Amen. It's not my behaviors. I'm beholding what? Because I will become what I behold. And if I behold my identity, and I behold the first story, and I behold who he is, and I behold who I am in Christ, what begins to happen? The bad fruit starts falling off. Behavior starts to follow. We're just got it all backwards. We're trying to correct behavior. Don't correct behavior. Correct your beholding. If you correct your beholding, the behavior will follow. That's a good word. Amen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Know yourself according to the Spirit. Know yourself according to the first story, not the second story. Quit knowing yourself through your past, through the lens, the cracked mirror, and start seeing yourself through the Scripture and what God's Word says about you. And what God's Word says about you, you take it to the bank, and you start living in it, you start walking in it, and I'm telling you, it'll change everything about your life. It'll change you. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change where you go. It'll change who you marry. It will change your marriage. It will change your kids. It will change it all because of why? Identity. All about identity. That's it. Every temptation you ever will face, it's about who you are. Amen. All right. Close it down. Unhitch for a minute. Praise God. You guys get that? You understand that? Come on, is it getting in you? You bear his image. Don't regard yourself according to... We once knew Christ that way, he said. We thought he was just a man. But he's not a man. He's divine. Listen, you're not just a man. You're a new creation. You have divine nature applied. You got DNA, divine nature applied. How can you say that? The Scripture teaches me that. The Scripture says that about me. I've been born of God. I'm a child of God. I've been born of him. I now carry him. I carry his DNA. I'm a new creation. I'm in the second Adam now. I'm not in the first. I'm in the second Adam, which is Christ. He's restored me now. I'm no longer going to live by the first story. I'm not living by the failure and defeat. I'm not living by the deception. I'm not living by that story anymore because that story is wrong about my life. There are so many people. People go to the grave every single day, never living in the first story, but always living in their second. I want you to know who you are, church. If I do anything before I leave this earth, I want you to know who you are. I know, man. You guys have heard teachings and preachings like this for a long time here. This is a staple in our church. I get it. We can never get tired of hearing about it. Never. Because what I behold, I become. And the world's trying to get you to behold a bunch of stuff. We wonder why our nation is in the mess that it's in. It's because what we're beholding. We placed our faith in all kinds of other stuff than the one that can actually change it all. It comes back to identity. Amen. Throw up that last, I think it's at the bottom of that, my papers there, Jeff. I gave a quote. I think I put that, it was very end, very, very bottom, my notes. Being in Christ has affected my position and should affect my perspective, which will cause me to walk in the reality of the person that God has called me to be. Being in Christ, this is what came to me when I wrote this down. Being in Christ has affected my position. I'm in Christ. And should affect my perspective, which will cause me to walk in the reality of the person that God has called me to be. It'll change your life, bar none. So, Pastor Paul, you still deal with it? Oh, yeah. I'm just like you. You mean you get angry? Oh, yeah. You mean you do? Yeah, I'm a work in progress. But we're on a journey. I ain't where I used to be. I ain't where I'm going to be. I ain't there yet, but I certainly ain't where I used to be. Thank God for what He's done. Father, we thank You again today for this opportunity to be able to be here on this Sunday morning. We ask, God, that You would just, I pray, Lord God, that same prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, that You would give unto these people a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. That the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, would capture the photo, the photizo, capture the photo. Their eyes would be enlightened that they may know the hope of Your calling and what is the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of Your power to us who do believe. I'm asking God, reveal this to us. Reveal this to us, who we really are, and we'll walk in our true identity. So God, thank You again for this day. Thank You for the opportunity, God, to be able to hear these words today. I've been encouraged, God, and I preached it, but God, I'm preaching to me. Stir it back up in my heart of who I am. I ask You, God, to bless these people in this holiday weekend. Thank You for their commitments to be here. Thank You for what You're doing in our church. Thank You, God, for the momentum in this house. You're doing something special in our hearts. We reverence that, sir. We thank You. Continue to work and do what You do. Real quick, as everybody's heads bowed and your eyes are closed as Christians pray across the room, if you would say to me this morning, Pastor Paul, I don't know Jesus. I've never accepted Christ. This is foreign. What you're saying to me, you're telling me that I can have my sins washed away? Are you telling me that I have an inheritance in Christ? Are you telling me that there's a benefit package in Jesus? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the too good to be true news. What do I got to do? I just need to receive. I don't need to work for it. I just need a nature change. I need a heart change. I need my motor changed. If that be you today, say, Pastor Paul, I don't know Jesus and I want to know Him. Would you raise your hand real quick? Anybody in the room? As the Lord deals with your heart, anybody in this room, Pastor Paul, I want to do this. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet today? Praise God. We've come to the part of our service today where there's ice cream. No man after the flesh. Only the Spirit. So go out and get you some. Well, that's against my diet. No man after the flesh, but only after the Spirit. You guys have a great weekend. I love you guys. I mean that. Pray for you. This place just means so much to me. You mean much to me. Thank You. Thank You, thank You. So Lord, I bless these people as they go. I pray the ancient blessing, the Numbers, the sixth chapter over their lives, that You would bless them, that You would keep them, that You would cause Your face to shine upon them, that You would be gracious unto them, that You would lift up Your countenance, Father God, upon them, and You would give them peace. I thank You, God, as they walk out the room, God, they carry Your name. We carry for Your name's sake, going into our mission field, every day, everywhere, everyone. Thank You, God, that You've chosen us. We leave out of here blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the journey group meeting real quick back in the second classroom on the left. Have you some ice cream. Everybody go get you one. Love you. Have a great week.
trying to reach for the light. Yeah, the struggle keeps me honest, and it breaks down the walls of my pride. 'Cause faith isn't proving like gold till it's been through the fire. Oh, my head, heart, and hands are feeling heavy. That's when I lift them just a little higher. I'll bring my heart up, heartfelt, been through hell. Hallelujah. Now bring my storm-tossed for self story to tell. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. Faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing. Now bring my heart, thought, heartfelt. It is well. Hallelujah.
Sword in hand, I jumped off, screaming Peter Pan. Hit the ground so hard, to my surprise, was my technique not exactly right. So I climbed back up and tried it all again. Sure, it may sound foolish now, but I promise you, I knew deep down if I believed I could do anything. When it was, my childlike faith grew up. Take me back to eyes open wide, to that kid who once believed he was always made to fly. I wanna be amazed. I wanna drink it all.
that kid who once believed that he was made to fly. Might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.